better safe than crying in our soup.
I'm just applying my face makeup.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to the 90th episode of Dead Zone the Podcast for November 2018. In this episode, we have lots of news and talk about all things not Dead Zone. Wait, what? As always, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures, or you can go to youtube.com/c/deadzonethepodcast for the video version of this show. Now on to the episode.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast, episode 90, the big 9-0. That's a milestone. With me, my ever-present, my ever-lovely, in his cocktail dress and his up-coiffed hair, it's my pal Rob.
Yep, that's true. I'm definitely wearing that. Yes, we're back. It's a little later this month, but hey, you win some, you wait a few weeks, and it's already the end of November. Some this month went fast, but we're here. But because we waited so long, we have tons of news. We have tons of things to talk about. We have tons of things to talk about that aren't Dead Zone. So we'll get into it. How's that sound?
Sounds delightful. Let's do this.
It's going to be wonderful. We'll start with some news. Mantic Open Day just happened in Nottingham, and there were some things that are of interest to us. They announced the new containment protocols that they didn't really name Outbreak, Containment Protocols Outbreak, but they meant to. And I think they thought of that afterwards, and it is a good idea to every year, like they do the Clash of Kings for Kings of War. The containment protocols, it seemed like that's going to be the new tagline for the new books coming out. So next year it's going to be called Containment Protocols Insurrection. That's a good name.
Pretty shoddy Star Trek movie, but a good name for a supplement.
Yes. And it's going to have rules for big maps, the new multi-map rules, which they kind of have, but I think it's going to be more expansive, which is cool. They're going to redo all the factions again, rebalance everything, just like Clash of Kings does for Kings of War, where you just get that book and it'll have all the rebalancing. Hopefully they don't change too much. I think you can't keep fiddling with the game. It's fine as it is. Add new stuff, please. But don't just fiddle around with the old stuff. Let us play with it. That's a problem. I think we've discussed this many times about a tournament. People trying to turn this into a tournament game. That's when you start getting fiddled. There's a lot of fiddle going on.
Yeah, I didn't want to harp on it if we could have just went past it without airing our grievances, but you're right. It's one of those things, eventually just stop it. If you just keep rebuilding, like if you keep redesigning the wheel, eventually you're going to have a cart with 60 wheels and no reason to have it. Like, stop it. You know what? You might want to put a horse in the front of that. You might want to put some walls on there, maybe a roof.
Start thinking about Dead Zone 3.0 and put your, you know, what do you want to change dramatically? Don't keep tweaking the factions, just try to rebalance them. They don't need to be rebalanced, they're fine.
Yeah, there's so much more you can do with the way the game plays and how and objectives and like you don't need to rethink the Veerman again. You don't really need to look at one model and go, I don't like it. Come on, like let's move forward. We're at a pretty good place. I say that with Maison Labs being
I was just gonna say. Yep, Maison Labs is brand new, so they might need a little rejiggering. But I haven't heard anybody complain about them yet. You'd think they'd be a bit OP, but they're not. I don't think. There's so many factions in the game now that people know how to make factions to make them balanced right from the get go.
It's almost as though there's the balance in the game now that makes it so that the new factions kind of have a spot to fit. Mm-hmm. At coupled with the team building exercise, the award-winning team building exercise helping you along, Between those two things, I wouldn't say which one was more important.
Well, we know which one's more important, but, you know, you gotta keep those rules committee guys happy by not just implying that they're running uphill with a boulder all the time.
Yeah, well. But that's our rant. We've likened the rules committee to Sisyphus now enough that, we can move on.
I never said they had syphilis, Jack. That's just, you're going too far.
Oh.
Another thing they're adding is objective cards, so you get ever-changing goals. I think that's a little, they're stealing that a bit from 40K. I think 40K has something similar to that, which, hey, if it works, steal away. And it'd be something to change up the game. I think also King's War has something similar to that now, where you get a deck of cards and you, at every turn, you pull a new card and you see what you can do on that card. And you get VPs for it. It's a way to change the game up, and I'm fine with that. Like I say, if it's a good thing, steal it. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
They're also adding new units, as they've implied from the last campaign summer. So everybody's gonna get at least one new unit, which is cool. Cause hey, new units mean new models, and that means new things for me to buy. And if anything I've learned from this past week is that, Black Friday, I went to go buy stuff at Mantic, and I was like, oh, I don't need anything. I have it all.
Okay. Yeah.
It was sad. So yes, so new units will be something for me to buy. Obviously the big thing is that the rebalancing the mercs and some of the race-specific mercs are going into their own faction lists. Almost like heroes. Almost like their characters. I wonder where they got that from.
Well, we could go back 5 years when we had that discussion and, you know, play the tapes. And then every 3 months when we bring it up.
Yeah.
Since then, you know, but.
I don't think they actually got it from us. It just took them that long to come to the same conclusion that, yeah, if they're race specific, they're just heroes. They're not mercs. Anyway, we've said that many a times.
Yeah, well, you're being overly generous. I think they're dirty thieves, and quite frankly, my lawyers will be in touch. My intellectual properties have been trod upon.
They're also doing a Mercs faction, which is cool. All the Star Saga Mercs will become a faction, so that now Star Saga will not only be the place you get a Maison Lab starter faction and a free game. You'll actually get two factions in there and a free game. So it's gonna have a, Merc faction. They're gonna say that faction's gonna be a very small model count, but pretty elite. Which, yeah, if you could figure out a way to do that and it's not OP or not too weak, it could be fun.
That's amazingly fun that you can buy the board game, play through the thing, yeah, and then go, okay, and I have two Dead Zone factions, so now we can go into Dead Zone and play the game with this. It's genius. It's cunning in its intricacies.
Yes. They're also doing a future campaign book similar to Vanguard, where they're doing it. I guess Vanguard has a campaign book coming out, and they're going to be doing the similar thing with Dead Zone, which is fun. More campaigns. That's always good. More little stories. They did that with King's War once again. They did that little campaign book, which I think it had Dungeon Saga missions in it too. So I assume this new Vanguard one will be similar, where you play Vanguard missions and then it moves up to King's War. And yeah, that'd be fun. Do something where it's, yeah, you start off almost like the, what's that book? First Strike book. Where you start off on a Star Saga mission that expands into a Dead Zone mission that expands into a Firefight mission, you know, like move all the way up. That'd be fun. Fun.
Yep. You could stop at Dead Zone and it would just be just as fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's obviously you're not going to play a Firefight, but I think Star Saga's fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's, but I think, if you're going to have a, you know, the first time's free, all the cool kids are doing it board game to lead into tabletop, wargaming, Star Saga is a damn fine, starting point.
Yeah. Yeah. Then I've also heard that they're going to be doing a rejiggering of a Dungeon Saga to be similar in the rule set to Star Saga now, because Star Saga really is Dungeon Saga 2.0. So to move back to Dungeon Saga, which, being at Gen Con to see how popular Dungeon Saga was, I was stunned Like, how many people wanted that game? It was crazy. Like, I think Star Saga sold only because people couldn't get Dungeon Saga. Like, it was crazy.
But somehow you ended up the Star Master, not the Dungeon Master, so...
Yeah, well, I think there some Wizard of the Coast might have sued somebody. Are they still around? Is Wizard of the Coast still a thing? Do they still own Dungeons & Dragons?
Yeah, they still do.
Okay. I was... Well, obviously, there's still a thing. They have magic, but... they also had a little tidbits about the new Dead Zone summer campaign for next summer. And it's going to be, which I think should have been, well, I guess, I can't say should have been, but I kind of wish this campaign had been a wider look with multiple planets and more far-reaching consequences, which I think I said that right after, it might have been even in the wrap-up show for that, or maybe even a live show, where you get more people invested in playing a certain faction if it had wider consequences, where, yeah, I don't want to lose this planet, you know, like, I don't want my home world to be invaded by the plague, so I'm going to actually fight harder to... Because even us, I played Marauders. I played Marauders just because I took it on as a challenge to play Marauders. And you played Mazon because it was the new hotness, but to have an actual... I would have played the Asterians or I would have played the Enforcers, factions I actually care about if it had some reason for me to care, you know?
Yes, you were very vocal about that. Yeah, like... Right at the time, that was your opinion that you, if it would have been a big, broader picture in the universe, but.
Yeah. So that's fun. That's all they pretty much said about that. I think it's still in the works. They don't really know what's going on. Hopefully they get, get Kieran back to, do the website again, cause he did great. And, yeah, that'd be fun. I cannot wait. And hopefully, they said it was going to be earlier in the summer too, so that they could actually, it'd be a summer campaign, not a late summer campaign moving into fall. Yeah. So people.
Mid-September.
And that was your whole thing, so that people could, they'd have their kids would be off school and they could just go into a game store and start playing.
Yeah. It's summer just seems to breed more time off, more availability, more, but, you know, for the first time out, they knocked it out of the park. So with just what they know now at Mantic and what the next year's, you can tell is guaranteed to be, you know, like spot on.
And I also think with the campaign, response to the campaign and the sales of the book, I think they were surprised how popular Dead Zone was. And I think that might be some of the reason that they've kind of scaled back on their obsession with Firefight and Warpath. That they realize, hey, wait, Dead Zone is where people want to play right now. Everybody's moving to skirmish games. We already have a well-built skirmish game. Why would we try to do something, you know, like, this is the sweet spot. Everyone's playing smaller scale games. So I think they realize that's the place they want to be.
The Dead Zone, it was well above, like, all the competition at the time, way ahead of the curve for skirmish games. And Mantic knows it. Ronnie has been saying it since for years and years that's his jam. It was a good idea at the right time. So I guess the sales are telling him he's not wrong and telling us that we chose the right game to start doing a podcast for because
even on the Mantic Day. Yeah, flagship, yes, right, for the sci-fi, very least. Because it used to be Dreadball, and Ronnie admitted during that talk on Admantic Day that they dropped the ball on Dreadball, and he even said that they're not even sure it's beyond saving, maybe even. Like, it's gone that low, where they lost everything. Because Dreadball was on fire, and all of a sudden Blood Bowl came out, and then came back, and then Guild Ball's out, and like, all these other games came out, and, they had the spot, and luckily Dead Zone, they didn't let the embers go out as far as Dead, or Dreadball. Dead Zone was still had the fire going, so we were able to, you know, stoke that fire back up, build it back up, do this new stuff every year, keep the hype train a-flowing. And I think Dead Zone's in a good spot, whereas Dreadball, not so much. It's a great game. Dreadball 2.0 is an amazing game, but it's just unfortunate, like you said, it might have been too late. If they had just not gone crazy the first year and then let it falter for a whole year waiting for the new rules, that's It's
a bit of hindsight and a little bit of armchair quarterbacking on our part, but thankfully we're in a renaissance of Dead Zone, and
mm-hmm.
I can't be happier.
Exactly. They also said that Star Saga scenery might be added into Dead Zone, including things like hacking rules. Now that's something that's really interesting. That's something you think should be in there, like using the environment a bit more, hacking. It would make engineers maybe useful, like give them the hacking ability. Like that could change a lot. You have some objective where you have to take an engineer because they have to go hack a terminal. That'd be fun.
But you know what? I think if we just, you know, adjust the crawlers a little bit, and then maybe every maybe the Brockers will take a point of here. I think that's more important than expanding on the game, the fun of the game.
So yeah, when you first started, I was like, Jack doesn't think this is a good idea. And then I realized, oh, this is facetious, Jack. Oh, okay.
It's because I'm an actor.
You were. You tricked me. You tricked me.
That's hard to do now. You've known me for...
I know. At first I was like, what? Jack, come on, Jack. This is a good idea. And then you're like, oh, okay.
Normally you see right through it.
Like, yeah, it's true. You got me. Yeah. I had my defenses were down.
You know what? Making you laugh is very hard. So when I do it, I feel a lot of pride. Tricking you with my tomfoolery and hijinks is even a bigger accolade. Like I'm putting myself in for a BAFTA, I think.
Yeah, you know, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
The truth is, like, if we're talking the truth to the words here, I laugh on the inside. I just won't give you the credit of making me laugh.
Oh, okay.
Something else that we've been pushing for years. I feel like this is the Dead Zone the Podcast congratulation announcements, because Stuntbot's being re-released in a melee and a ranged version in resin. Finally, Stuntbots are going to be back in production. Thank the Lord. That is the one model that, like, say I have nothing to buy, that's the one that we need and we just don't have. Like, I'm sure we would have stunt bats in a lot of more of our faction or in our Marauder armies if we had them. So I cannot wait for that. No, I'm sure it's going to be expensive, but.
Yeah, prices are going up on Mantic stuff. The price point is still really good compared to the competition, but we are seeing it creeping up a bit. And as soon as you see resin, then you know, okay, it's. If you know, you gotta expect that's gonna be even a little more pricey.
Yeah.
But if you've been playing for years and you've been using a Strider for a stump bot or something you got from a second hand or whatever you want, one purchase like that, you know, drop 40 quid. Get it on the table.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. You want to get those, you have to support the when they do put them out, so.
Yes.
We will be getting a stunt bot. They also said if you want to know what kind of models are coming into Dead Zone in the new book, is look at Star Saga, because all those new expansions are coming out now that Wave 2 is shipping for the Kickstarter backers and it'll be going to retail eventually. All those box sets have new sculpts and new creatures for Star Saga. So the Rebs, Veermen, Goblins, Marauder Leader are all coming from Star Saga into Dead Zone. So that'll be some fun. What are the new Veermen? They have some weird names. They're like Fixers and something else. Like so there's gonna be some interesting new creatures coming in for the Dead Zone.
Good.
And I like how Star Saga is feeding into Dead Zone, and I think that should be the way. And vice versa, I guess if you get some guys, well, we have got guys from Firefight coming into Dead Zone too, so hopefully they'll move back down even to Star Saga. So you get, like Lieutenant Rocka rocking his way into a Star Saga campaign.
Well, for sure. Any of the mercs, you know, like, I understand the book's in the works, and but you can see in Star Saga how the one side being the unique characters and stuff, it lends itself for more to go down, you know, and have their adventures, you know. It's not a dungeon crawl because it's not a dungeon, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, that was hard to just explain. It's like it's a dungeon crawl in a space station. So is it a space station crawl? That doesn't make sense.
Station saunter just does not have the same ring to it.
Station stagger? That's only if they get drunk beforehand.
Then we'll jump ahead to next Adepticon.
Yes. Yeah, that John Jack, if you're listening, make a barroom brawl, but for Star Saga called Station Stagger. It's just a race around a station drunk. Anyways, Pathfinder with Monowheel is becoming elite leader, finally. They're coming back, those Monowheels, and they're going to be coming into the GCPS and Reb factions, too. They're going to get their hands on the tech, so dust off those Monowheels. Hopefully they'll put those back in production also. And hopefully they sell them without the rider, just separate Monowheels. That'd be kind of fun.
Oh, for sure, because if you've got an extra Yindage laying around there, you can just get his legs to straddle there. You know, the possibilities for modelers is outrageous. When those grubby little sticky-fingered Rebs grab a hold of one of those models, you can park all kinds of people on there.
Yeah, fun times. And the last thing Ronnie said from that Mantic Open Day is that something special has come for Hellboy in December. Some special thing. We don't know what it is. You just kind of implied it, so we have to look out for that. Hellboy specialities in December.
Okay, so you're a Hellboy aficionado. Let's make a couple guesses right now. Recorded on tape so that when it does come to pass, we can go see, you know.
Well, you kind of implied it was something you could buy, so that gives us a clue. So a model of some sort, but maybe they're just going to be putting the Hellboy model up for sale or something. What do you think?
You went pretty low. You set the bar real low.
I did set the bar pretty damn low.
Oh, they might have a model for sale. Oh.
That's what I'm thinking. They got the Hellboy itself model in early or something, and they're just going to sell some Hellboy models. What do you think?
I think they'll announce an expansion that has. You know how there was a 1940s Hellboy era,
and then there was the 50s. Yeah, with Hellboy, the 50s are big for them coming on because Hellboy was in the war, right? So he was a teenager, pretty much in the 50s.
I'm gonna hazard a guess to say that there's gonna be an expansion called I don't know something Reich, and it's gonna be Hellboy versus Nazis.
Oh yeah, just straight up. Nazis like kicking around.
Yeah, yeah. See, now you went pretty tame, and I just went full on like Elseworld. But
well, they also I didn't put it in the thing. He also Ronnie did mention a new Kickstarter coming in April that has something to do with monsters. That's interesting too. I have no idea what that means, but some kind of new game. I'm not sure if it's a new game or just things for Kings of War or what, but. He said it's something to do with monsters, so that's interesting too. Huh. So we have a lot to look forward to. We do have Star Saga news, as I said. The Kickstarter finally shipping. People are getting them. They have gotten them already. I think I got a strange message from China saying something's coming. So I think it might have been the shipping notice. It was like 4.9 kilograms or something crazy. So I have a feeling there's nothing
not
else.
Your bride, that, then.
No, it's a little lighter than my bride, but it's definitely heavier than anything else I would have ordered. So I think that is wave two of Star Saga coming to us. They were waiting for the last of the printed materials to arrive, but now they have it. And it started shipping November 15th. So as I said, most people should be getting their stuff soonish. So that's great. They also did post a picture of some of the painted Star Saga models. You got a sphere in the background, a cool looking sphere. You got the Alpha Simian. Looking amazing. The big giant ape with claws. And the Nastanza and some guy with a grenade are trying to hold them off. But that ape's going to just destroy Nastanza as she deserves to be destroyed.
You're gonna
not
get
that way. Yes. But I do love the paint job on that ape. That is I like his leathers of his pants. I think they look really good.
You know when the models from the they started when we got onto Dead Zone the models and they were good, they were passable models, and we've watched this progression of quality and innovation and just aesthetics, but every once in a while you see one that just kind of tickles your you know gets you right in the cockles of the heart. And that Alpha Simeon's like right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You're a monkey man.
I am a monkey man. Monkey Man Jack, they call me.
Yep.
Always have, always will.
You and your sidekick tweeter, you go off and cause trouble that the headstones have to describe.
Yeah.
That's a deep cut for Canadians. I don't think that many people would know what that means. And Hellboy news. We do have a lot of Hellboy news. Panda in China has started production at the end of October, so it's going nice. And they did send a production copy to Mantic, which promptly got destroyed by a forklift. The forklift cut right through the demo box that they were going to bring to Essen, actually, to show off the game. So they do have a smashed box that they have for Hellboy. But it does show off.
What I'm looking at.
Yes, it's, we have the pictures in. You can go to podbean.com/deadzonepodcast. I haven't said it in so long. I literally can't remember. I think it's, no, sorry. deadzonegame.podbean.com is where you can go to see that pictures. And in this case, it is the picture of Hellboy's box crushed. And, you see it off. This is the retail edition with just Hellboy on the cover. A lot of people saying they like that cover better than the Kickstarter edition, but the Kickstarter edition has exclusive Mike Mignola art on it, so I'll take that any day.
Oh, yeah. You, that's no question.
But luckily, it was just mostly the box that was destroyed. All the contents inside of the examples turned out it didn't get too broken up, so we've got some agent cards. We can see the final look of the agent cards for Hellboy. And, also, the card tiles and the thickness of the card tiles, which are quite thick. Jack, you know about thickness.
Well, yes, I do.
I meant in your professional life.
Yes, I do.
But, yeah, they look pretty thick. Hopefully, it'll prevent warping. They have the case files, which are sealed. So, you first time you play, you play them in the correct order. And then later, you can mix them up. The Doom cards look like nice cards. The dice, look at the red on the dice. It's not pink. They got the dice right.
That is true. And look, some of the pips are square. Some of them are octagonal. Some of them are iron crosses. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on in there. I don't even know what's going on. All those colors.
Yeah, they said that they did the different pips, like some are all the different shapes for each color, because for color blindness. So if you're colorblind, you can't tell red from orange from yellow from, well, I guess black, usually you can tell. But they put a different shape in each of the pips, so you don't have to know the color. You just know, okay, orange is square, so square pips, okay, perfect. That's very good. That's something that a lot of board games don't think about, but that's a major issue, I guess, in the board gaming world is colorblindness, because we take it for granted. I think both me and Jack have slight colorblindness. We get colors confused, but we don't usually have a problem with dice and things like that. But some people just see black and white, and that's it.
The extra cost of making sure that you're that inclusive is admirable. Like,
oh, I thought you were going to say screw the colorblind.
What is that? 1% of the population up there is screwing. I don't want to pay an extra 5 cents because some guy's colorblind.
Yeah, but that's what Kickstarters are for. They just put it into the cost of the Kickstarter, so we get the fancy dice. We also got encounter cards, and it's pretty much you flip over this, tells you what's in a room, which you're going against. And you can actually see the card stock, I guess. Not actual card, but like the playing card stock, where it's got that linen finish, kind of.
Yes.
So that's higher end cards, which is nice. That's a lot of people have knocked Mantic cards in the past for being, we've never had an issue, but people, there's card snobs, so this will make them happy.
And I like the picture they've chosen for the encounter cards. It's a little boy Hellboy with a match lit up, so he looks like trying to look around the room. Like thematically, it.
I wonder if you know how there's different levels of encounters. I wonder if the back is different for each one. That'd be interesting. I don't think so, but that'd be kind of funny. Where, oh, you're fighting red ones, all of a sudden you like the hardest kind of encounters. You have like Hellboy full strength, but for the weakest encounters, you have the baby Hellboy.
Ooh, if that's the way it plays out, then it doesn't attract if that's not the way it does.
No, but it's
an extra level of like you get those cards and it's like, oh, there's the full Hellboy with his stone fist and his pistol there. Oh, burn for all the hurt. We flip this card over.
And these are all standard playing card sides, which is good for if you're going to sleeve them all, which once again, I guess if you played a game so much that you're going to destroy it, but I don't see the point of sleeving. Like, you know, I played a lot of Legendary on those cards. They may be dirty, but haven't been destroyed. They're still good enough to play with, so I can't see playing Hellboy that much to destroy the cards, but some people that might be an issue, or if you eat a lot of Cheetos while you're playing games, I guess. We also got a tile sheet showing some of the tokens and, room tiles. It's good, like the uncut sheets here. And you can see the kind of the design of the rooms. You got like looks like you're looking in a house. There's a carpet and things like that. Standard tokens. And then you got mini cards, which are the requisition cards. So you're like items. So they're mini cards, so you can put them beside your player character, so you can keep a bunch of them on there. And sample rulebook looks like most rulebooks. It's looks pretty clean. Hopefully it's not too long. We want to keep it short. I did demo this game, run demos for this game, having read the book like the day before, like what was coming out, not even the full book and not even the like the finished copy, and it was very simple to play. It was so simple to play that I was getting bored demoing it because I wasn't playing a character. I was letting everybody else play characters. So the game plays itself. I just had to be there to be like, okay, this is this. Which you could just read from the book, right? So that's
right.
The game played so smoothly instantly that you don't need to even have, like, some games you need a GM kind of to run the thing. This game played so smoothly. You didn't even need that.
For the first 2 minutes, you were vitally important to these people enjoying the game. And then after that, you were just watching people play a board game that you've watched the same scenario be played out.
Yeah.
Probably with variations, but not wildly so that it's vastly more entertaining than, say, I don't know, watching people play Scrabble.
Yeah, so at least when I was demoing Star Saga, at least I was playing the bad guys, so I could actually do different things and make myself happy trying stupid things. But yeah, for demoing Hellboy was hard. Not to mention, by that point, I was losing my voice. I was like sleep deprived, and that was at Mantic Open Night at Gen Con. I almost died, but luckily, Rob Berman jumped in, saved the day, and I was able to fall against a wall, and Beetle kept me alive by making sure I didn't swallow my own tongue. So it was all good. Rob, I did promise.
He stuck his wallet in your mouth.
That's right. I did promise Beetle I'd be more energetic at DeptCon and not just be a zombie leaning against a wall when I saw him next.
Yeah. So you promise to be more energetic, and I promise I'll hug him, and between those two things, I'm sure he'll be thrilled.
Yeah. We do have a comparison between the retail and the Kickstarter box. The retail box is, if you look at the pictures, is the one with Hellboy on it, and the Kickstarter box has the exclusive Mike Mignola art, and you can see it's about a third taller and about twice as wide, or twice as thick, and twice as tall in the same way. It's like the thing is huge compared to the retail box. So if you're back to Kickstarter, you're getting a nice hefty tome, but I'm sure this game will still be great even if you buy the retail version, so don't feel too bad. And that about covers it. Anything else to add to the news, Jack? Do you have any news for us?
No, we I think we covered a swath of Mantic's news. I don't know if we waited any longer, if we could have filled a whole episode with just news.
Yeah, because it's amazing. Like around Mantic Open Night, that is the Open Day, I guess. Because in England, it's during the day. That is the time that all the news comes out. So we had a good news segment that'll cover us for the rest of another 6 months until AdeptCon. So,
well. Probably not, but certainly I hope we've kept everyone who's interested up to speed.
Yep, we'll be right back after this musical interlude to talk about our main topic, and it's a bit of a surprise, and most people will be like, what the hell are they talking about this for? So we'll come back for it.
That's a nice stinger. That's going to bring them back after the music.
Hi, this is Ronnie. Get on down and listen to the Dead Zone podcast. It's amazing.
Welcome back. We are talking about our main topic today, this month, is something a little different, because Jack and I both, maybe under duress, but we both got into Vanguard a little bit, making some factions for Vanguard. It is the new fantasy skirmish game from Mantic Games. We're not doing a podcast about it, but we would like to talk about it because we've been working on it. So Jack, you were much more into Vanguard than I ever was. At the Kickstarter, I was like, oh, it's cool. I really like the sculpts, especially more and more I saw of the miniatures coming out of it. I was like, wow, this is Mantic's top-notch design right now. And hopefully it'll come into Dead Zone the same way, which we've already seen a bit. But you were into it.
It's twofold. There's a 1-2 punch of interest. And the first was I was talking to Shane, my boy Shane, at Adepticon, and he was saying, okay, this is his jam. And he had had more, as a Pathfinder and as being in the inner circle, he had a bit more of, understanding of what was being, unveiled. And the way he was saying, okay, yeah, this is my jam. And he and I are like pretty compatible on a lot of things. So I was like, oh, okay. I'll keep an eye out. But I don't think I ever told you, like, hey, we got to get down on the Kickstarter. We got to do whatever.
I know. And, I regret that because we should have gotten on Kickstarter.
Never would I have ever thought there'd be a day when I had to tell you that to make a purchase. Usually I'm telling you, don't do it, buddy. No.
I know. But
step back. Just think about it for a second. And then you just go, well, it's less than a dollar a mini. Got to do it.
Yes.
You're like an automaton at that point. I saw the book, some bits, and then it just hit me that there was a bit of nostalgia for, you know, fantasy, which I like, and then you get skirmish level. It tweaks just enough of those buttons, and Community Pat was like, if you want to get into it, and graciously I said, you know what, I think the Abyssal's kind of. And he had purchased, he'd got his Kickstarter, and he said, let me send you a few little trinkets. And, I think out of the kindness of his heart, but also because I think he knows that, you know, that the more people that get the word out on Vanguard, the better. So I have to say thank you to Pat. And when we get into our stuff, I'll be able to give proper thanks for the, what he sent my way.
Yes. And you did surprise me when you chose Abyssals. You were a Trident Realms Forces of Nature guy. You've always been a tree guy, but even back in the day, you were always about the trees. But I was surprised when you went Abyssals. That would be the last people I think you would choose for any kind of faction, maybe behind Orcs and Goblins.
Pat and I were just hanging loose. He works nights, I work nights, so sometimes we just sit and, you know, and because we are genuinely friends, so it's just one of those things. And he said, "What would you?" And I know from the last Crazy Box, I think the one you got, I had a sprue of Abyssals, and I said, "Well, I've got this sprue, and that's like one of the warriors and two of the
grunts
that I would need. So like, and I know we had some from the from Dungeon Saga. So I was like, well, you know what? Just to tinker and just to get in on the ground floor. Yeah, you know, let's go Abyssals. And then Pat was like, okay, well then let's, if you're gonna do it right. So
yeah, I think Dungeon Saga was the real. At first I was like, oh, I'll do Basileans. I have tons of Basileans. Unfortunately, most of my Basileans are multi-based for Kings of War. They're not separate. Right. So I was like, okay, maybe not. And then I was looking through my extra bits and I had a lot of things we haven't built for, back Dungeon Saga. We never really played it. So I had a ton of, and really I bought Dungeon Saga for Kings of War because I was going to use a bunch of that stuff for Kings of War armies. But, so I had a bunch of these miniatures. So I just started saying, okay, what can I make out of this? And like I said, you got all the Abyssals, so that cleared those out. I had a lot of undead, and you're not a fan of the Mantic undead, and I'm not a fan of undead in general, so that was out. And I didn't get many of the orcs and goblins from, I never got the Green Rage set from Dungeon Saga, so I never had a bunch of those. But I did have a bunch of the heroes, and I had a bunch of dwarfs, and I had a bunch of undead trolls. But I went crazy with some green stuff, or Milliput, actually. And I turned the undead trolls into frost trolls instead. So I went Northern Alliance. Because I had, like I said, I had a bunch of dwarves. I had two versions of the one barbarian hero. So I had a bunch of him. And I had a bunch of elf-like looking people. Because the Northern Alliance has half-elves and elves in it. And with those trolls, I was able to make a Northern Alliance faction just out of my spare stuff. And that's... I think that turned out pretty cool, and the base are the wrong size for Dungeon Saga, unfortunately, but I don't care, and if Jack doesn't care, because he's also using the same size base, because most of his guys are on Dungeon Saga bases also.
Well, all the guys from Dungeon Saga, I changed the bases.
Oh, so you made them official?
Everyone's official except for one model.
Well, look at you, fancy pants.
But I will say... Looking at the pictures, and I love your dwarves, by the way. They are dynamite. The way you did the wash with the blue into the Dungeon Saga tiles to make it look like they're on like an icy river with the shattered ice just floating on top. I did the exact same thing with my bases, and it shows how versatile the Dungeon Saga bases are. It's just a couple, you know, make them look like stone. I've seen that 100 times. You made yours, and I made mine look completely different.
Yeah, because you went with a fiery kind of lava feel, and I went with the ice. It'll be fun to we'll probably play some battle reports for these guys. It'll be a nice combo because my guys are all icy blue, and you guys are all fiery red. And your guys are like crazy amazing. You went through so much red on these guys.
Well, let's not skip over your painting either. You're a prolific painter, but like your elves and your like you, I think you are in your zone for these models.
Yeah, I was thinking about both of us. Both of us ended up painting like our best miniatures in this set, and I think it's because it was something different. We've been so used to painting sci-fi. That all of a sudden we're painting fantasy. I think it revitalized our painting and used some of the skills that we used to have that we haven't really been using that much, doing leathers and things like that. And it's, it turned out both of our groups are amazing.
They're going to look good when we even just take some pictures, when we just, you know, start getting the rules down and it'll, I think they'll show on the table very nicely.
Yeah. And, my guys, like I said, it's mostly Dungeon Saga, and the trolls are where most of it came into, because I had the troll leader, so he ends up being the troll leader for the Northern Alliance. And then the one troll, I boxed him out and put armor on him and put some ogre arms on him, and that turned out really well. And then the other troll is like pretty much the standard troll, but I just gave him Yeti fur, pretty much. I green stuffed some Yeti fur on him.
He does look like a Yeti, like he has a toothache and an elf needs to climb into a
mountain. Exactly. And then I was using, instead of the normal shading, I would use blue as shading, so everything's got like a blue tint to it. Everybody's got a icy pallor, kind of, so I think that it worked for the ice. And then for your guys, it literally is the exact opposite. It's all fire. It's all like red and... And I really like this first model you did is the, the one of the leaders with the little, goblin on top of the, bigger demon's shoulders.
Yeah, he's the spellcaster for them. Let me just, I don't remember all their names right now.
No, I don't remember any of their names.
But, he's the Abyssal Warlock. Now, when I got him, now this is one that Pat set along for me. So thank you, Patrick. You are without an Abyssal Warlock, but you have you can rest assured that I did him kind of proud. So, but when I got him, he's supposed to be pointing with a finger.
Oh,
out! But that finger was broken off in the box. So that is actually a standard from lore abyssals for Kings of War.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought that's what the model is supposed to look like. That's amazing.
No, I had to reconstruct his arm and then put the hand on there and then put the, yeah. So he doesn't, if you're looking, that's not stock. But honestly, the base that he's on is the proper size. You can't really tell scale, but he's a kind of a big model. But the top, like lava, if, what's it called when it's dried out? Like
magma.
Yeah, the crust on the magma is actually a parts from a Dungeon Saga base too.
Nice.
Yeah, I really enjoyed painting that one. And I told Rob going in, I wanted a Tim Curry from Legend color where it's got that purplish, reddish. And yeah, my Reaper Brilliant Red had took a real hit. My Crimson is not too far behind.
Yeah. Yeah. As we'll go through these, you'll see there's a lot of red going on.
Yeah.
Next one is the Horseman, which I like. You don't like the Horseman much. It's not that you don't like the model. You just don't like Horseman in general. What is it?
I find that when I'm doing mounted people, that if you make it look like they belong together, then they blend into each other, and then I don't know how to get that balance. But once I got in my greasy little hands the model, the way that they did, like there's armor on the horse, and I'm putting air quotes because the thing's got like horns and claws and stuff.
It's a demon horse of some sort.
Yeah, so there's some raggedy like fabrics, and then there's like there's enough to break it up where it doesn't look like it's one chunk. It looks like a guy on a mount now.
Yeah, I like heraldry, I think it is the stuff they put on the horse, like the horse blanket, pretty much, and it covers his whole bottom half. It's like I do have some Vassalan horsemen, and I agree, like you do like plate mail armor color and it kind of blends into their armor, so you gotta break it up somehow, and that red blanket you did underneath him really broke it up, and it did a different red than like the skin of everybody else too. It was like I think it worked really well.
Yeah, it served the purpose. Obviously when they made the model they were looking at that particular, but that is the leader, the blood mask, and the base is actually two Dungeon Saga bases that I mounted on another base. So it's Pat sent me that as well. So thank you, Pat. That's the blood mask variant. He's got an axe rather than the other one has a lance. The regular riders have lances.
It reminds me of that famous painting. Who is it? I can't remember who did it, but the Deathbringer?
Not Vallejo.
No, that's what I kept thinking.
Yeah, everyone knows.
Yeah.
Everyone our age knows exactly who we're talking about. And he does, yeah, very much so. And then after that, I did the... what is his name? I don't know.
Yeah, it's the one with the claw hand and the claw body, and he's crazy looking.
I wish I was more fluent in the.
He's not. He reminds me of Amalek from what's it called, Kings of War. But I don't think that's what he is. I can look it up too.
I probably should. He's a despoiler.
Despoiler.
Yes, he's a despoiler. And that was a fun model to paint. It really was. And after I made the base, because I made all the bases first because I didn't even have – I know Pat was sending the some models, so I made a bunch of bases. And I looked at the cards. And I knew I needed a 50-mil base for him, which is huge because he's a big model too. And then once I put him down on it, I was like, oh, yeah, this was meant to be, even, you know – how many hundreds of kilometers away I made the base that he deserved. And I really liked how he turned out.
Yeah. The official despoiler has like purple chitinous armor. I like the bone way better. I think the red with the bone looks so much cooler.
Yeah. I like how it cuts, like, when they're all together, that white really stands out. And to be honest, it's a really nice looking model. You could have probably done anything with it, but when I was painting it, I kept seeing Beta Ray Bill, and I was like, I gotta not.
Oh yeah, it's true.
I need to, on the Mantic painted one, he's not wearing a helmet of bone like I have. Like it's his head and he's got horns and I was like, oh, okay. I just got to get away from Beta Ray Bill in my mind.
Yeah.
But I really like that model. And if you can get your hands on it, a spoiler, it's a fun, weird, different model. It really, like you said, we've been painting so much sci-fi. It was so nice to get away from that and go organic. And yeah, I don't regret picking Abyssals at all. I don't want to see red paint for a while, but
yeah. And the next ones you did were the gargoyles. So you got to break up the red with these guys. They're all stone looking, which is, it's good to break up them. Was that on the sprue that you had originally, or did that get sent to?
That came in a bag with the blood mask, I believe.
Oh yeah.
They came incidentally. But they did come from Pat, and I, at the time I was like, maybe I'll, I only need to make a one strike team. I won't paint everything. Some of the stuff he was just like, well, it's in the bag with this, so you're getting it anyways. So, but, then you're right. I wanted to branch out a little bit, and they are, it's hard to tell in the picture, but they're slightly different colors with different blending and transitions and stuff. And they do break up the vast amounts of red pretty nicely. And I haven't played obviously, but looking in the book, they seem like pretty decent troops. So I think I'm glad I took the time to paint them up.
Yeah, like you said, it breaks up the color scheme. The next guy is I think he's a Dungeon Saga miniature, right? The Demon Lord kind of guy.
Yeah, he does not equate to anything in the from the cards I have thus far. And they came in the Dungeon Saga. He's one of the ones that you gave me, and I think I'd use him as a champion or a tormentor or something, depending. But he's the first one I painted so that I knew what colors I wanted to do. Like, because sometimes instead of white horns, I thought black horns would look good. But I also thought, what if they had black skin so they didn't look like the.
Yeah, you originally thought you were going to go all black, right?
Yeah, with like red glowing eyes and stuff. I wanted to like go a different direction, but I started on him, and then I was like, oh no, this is what I want. So I would use him for something, but he's not a.
He reminds me of a tormentor, the tormentor guys, the champions, but
yeah.
They're slightly skinnier, I guess, but he's cool. He reminds me a lot of, there's an old video game where you played evil guy trying to kill everyone in his dungeon. I think it was called Dungeon Master. And this reminds me of one of the characters from Dungeon Master.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. Even like the original, Diablo bit, like that, this more cartoony style. Like he's much more cartoony than the rest of them.
He is very much the standard devil look to him. Like it's not like to the point of like a parody, but if you were to sit down and go, give me the classic, he's got like the cloven hooves, the wings, the big horns, you know, he's very much like dipped well deep into the classic.
Yeah. And then you get all your grunts and stuff. You have the, I don't know if they are grunts, the guys who shoot flames. Are they in the list?
Yes. Now, they came on the sprue with the
flame bearers. That's right.
Yeah. Now, there are different models that are the flame bearers now, like, and they're kind of hovering with a fireball, but those ones I already had, so they are my flame bearers now. They're shooting flame out of their hands. Like, there's no questioning what they're up to.
Yeah, their name kind of describes what they're doing.
Yeah, it's what you see on the tin is what you get. And then after that, it's those are lower abyssals.
That's original, the original sprue you had?
Yep, so them and the ones above all came from the same sprue and or Dungeon Saga. They're, and you know, for grunts, you'll notice that there's a huge amount of models here for a... If I was just to paint one strike team for Vanguard, you did the same thing.
Yeah.
There's no way your model count, but we can mix and match and play different things and do... So, yeah. And then the next one, I think he is a...
he's the actual Tormentor, yeah.
Yeah. And he's all right. The model's all right. I have most problems with him. He's got a lot of flash on the top of his shield. I tried to fix it, but you can still see it after the dry brushing. His horns aren't great and stuff, but I'm not going to complain. He's for a tabletop. I'm looking at him right now. I've turned my head ever so slightly, and you can't see all of it. He looks good, so like I'm not going to complain. And then not last but not least, getting close. These come from Dungeon Saga, the Cerberuses.
Cerberi.
And I gotta have me my dogs, so.
Hellhounds, they technically are in this game.
Yes, and that there's a lot of spikes to paint. And and I you know what, the sculpt isn't the greatest, because they come from the Dungeon Saga, but... with a little bit of work, they really do have like a hellish monster appearance, and they were fun to paint. And then
Succubi.
Some Succubi, they're from Dungeon Saga. Again, they're from the board game, and they're not show pieces by any stretch of imagination. It takes a lot of work to get them to look passable, and I don't know if I'd use them, but...
They are the same miniatures they're still using for Vanguard. They haven't updated those miniatures yet, so.
Well,
I just find it's a weird stance for those girls. She's supposed to be kind of running with these swords, but she's, yeah, I don't know if it works.
Yeah, I wasn't thrilled, but they've got a power that it's hard to hit them if they're close. I'll use them, and there's other models. There's a leader and some, champions and stuff that are also, so maybe eventually I'll make a succubus group, but.
And last but not least.
Yes, I have, the Imp Swarm, which, each sprue of, lower abyssals has two imps, so it takes two sprues of them to make. Full four that's required for the model, so.
But that's just the little guys. You had to build up a whole diorama here.
Well, yeah, this is the only one that isn't going to be regs. Like at the base, I needed some room on it to make it. So the altar on there is train crate with just some lower abyssal shields glued onto the front back. The center there with the skull, so it didn't match the army.
Oh, yeah.
And then the skeleton on the top is from Train Crate as well, from the Torture Chamber set.
Oh.
And so...
My question is, how did you make the intestines, and how did you make them so gooey?
Okay, well, the one guy carrying, the little imp carrying the torch, that's my fire... thing. I cut the torch out of that. It was there. The make-believe fire was there, and I did that with the silicone that Professor Jack did load these many years ago, if you wanted to know.
Yep, you can check that on our YouTube channel. You can go look up Professor Jack, and yep, he showed you how to make fire.
And the entrails are comically oversized for the skeleton. When I made them smaller, I was worried about the fragility of the actual stuff. It's made of a steel stick. Shane has preached the steel stick, and I'm a convert. I instead of anything, instead of green stuff, anything like that, I'm on board with steel stick. In fact, all the bases you see that look like the crust of magma on there is all, I molded that. I put that on there with steel stick, and that's all. But Yeah, then I just threw some gore on that on the altar.
A little
much. I did that in late October, and I think it was the spooktacular Halloween bug hit me. But that's why that base is bigger. That's a 50 mil base on a
40. It's supposed to be 40 mil
on a 40 because I needed some room for viscera.
Yeah. So yeah, that's our first step into Vanguard. We got two factions ready to go. I know I'm going to do some Basileans. Pat actually sent me some Basilean stuff too, so I'll show that off in the future. If you like us talking about Vanguard, please let us know. It is the new hotness, and we're getting into it, so this should be fun. It's not quite on brand, but it's all Mantic. We talk about Hellboy. We've already broken the brand anyway, so
yeah. And honestly, it looks so good that we couldn't help ourselves if we don't, you know, continue to have it on the Dead Zone podcast, we'll still probably be playing in the background. You just won't hear about it, but.
Yep, yeah. You might as well share.
And I will be, my next one will be Forces of Nature, probably, most likely, to get back into my wheelhouse.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, Basileans that's my original Kings of War faction, so I have a lot of heroes from that I'm going to convert over. So, that'll be fun. And sort of started that. I got some of the guys started, so next month I'm sure you'll see more of that stuff. And yeah, we'll probably have some, maybe even talk about some battle reports and how we get on. And I'm sure by the time we get to Adepticon, we'll be playing some games with people there too. We'll have to bring a faction.
Yeah, I'll choose between Dead Zone and Vanguard. One of them's coming.
Nah, we'll have to. We've got bags. We can fit stuff in there. That's the best thing about skirmish games. You can fit multiple in there.
I think young Schultz, his ogres were talking smack. I think they need a lesson.
Yep, got to stomp the ogres.
Yeah.
And I do know Beetle wants to play, and I think even Bill and Sue for Terrainaholic, they're getting into it too. So we have we probably won't be playing in the tournament, because I have a feeling that tournament's already sold out.
And, it was sold out immediately. The Vanguard's going to be a monster. It's going to be huge.
Yeah, Pat had to open up more spots, so he said he'll keep opening up spots as long as people keep buying, but eventually it's going to hit a limit where they can't make it any bigger. But Vanguard's that's definitely, like I said about Dungeon Saga, people just love fantasy. Fantasy is just so much more ingrained in people than sci-fi. Sci-fi is more niche, amazingly, is way more niche than fantasy. I don't get it, personally. I kind of like them. If anything, I like sci-fi better, but I do like them sort of equally. But for most people, Dungeons and Dragons, Tolkien, all this, Warhammer, obviously, they really ingrained fantasy into people that it is, it's on fire. So, El Fuego.
A box set of Vanguard designed for that set of, like, for that crowd at Gen Con would be just.
Well, they're doing. Yeah, they're doing the Mantic is even for Black Friday, and I'm sure it's going to be sell like crazy at Gen Con, is a Dungeon Master kit, where it's a bunch of terrain crate, it's a bunch of random monsters, some heroes, they're throwing it in, just, that's it, no rules, no nothing, just, hey, here's from DMs, it's called a DM kit, I think, and that's smart. We'll be right back, we'll have some shoutouts, and we'll do some more of our stuff. I don't know if Jack's done any sci-fi, but we'll try.
Not a goddamn thing.
What's up, guys? This is Coach coming back to you with Rob and Jack. This is the Dead Zone Podcast.
And welcome back to the Dead Zone Podcast, and we are now diving in to the shoutouts, one of our favorite segments where we do the community thing. So what's first on the agenda?
Shoutouts. First one's Daniel Gulka. He did a Teraton Shock Trooper in green, and I like the way he did the Teraton himself, his tail sticking out and his foot sticking out outside the armor. I like how it's a different color, but it's a really good shock trooper with the little highlights in white to give him some, little bit of a tribal look to him. Very nice.
He looks, cel-shaded. He looks like, you're playing Borderlands, which is the new hotness. Like he's on the trend with, that look. And I can see why. It looks really nice. I wonder what he did for the base, though. It looks like sand. It looks like...
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely looks like it's organic.
Like, it looks like it's got the colors right. It looks like he's walking across a beach.
Yep. And he also did a Forge Father Steel Warrior, maybe, specialist, with the big gun. It looks like a thermal cannon of some sort. And, he did him in more of a tan. He's still got the, little markings on the armor, but he did, for the, plasma parts in the gun, he did the bright red to get a little highlight to it. Nice touch. And a really good job for both those. I can't wait to see more of your factions.
Yeah.
Or if maybe you're just doing a single mouse, but they look good. Next one is, Marcel Popik. He did a Reb Strider. Classic Reb Strider. He was actually showing off the base. He based him. I guess he's painted this guy a long time ago, but he finally based him, which he has nice tufts and stuff on the base. But I just love the Strider itself. It looks totally different from an Enforcer Strider. He got a nice look that, hey, this is just some ragtag guy threw this guy. He put the flag in the right spot and, little markings here and there and damage markings on him. And I think
the paint's chipped. There's some grime on there. That is painted in what we like, is that lived in. It's not a polished. That's a lived in world Strider right there.
Yep. And his legs are pitted where some plague dogs have been chewing on it or something. And yeah, really, really good. Nice job for the Striders. It's been a while since, we've talked Striders, but it's the classic model from they've been around since the very beginning. So it's nice to see people still doing stuff with them. And, yeah, I can't wait to see more. You see Marcel Popik around a lot. So he's always doing great stuff. So nice job. And nice job on the base. Nice tufts of the probably army painter or who's the other one that does those tufts?
I don't know. I tried to buy some at Adepticon. The guy waved me off. So
he said, "You're not good enough to buy tufts."
Yeah, no, it wasn't like that. He was very, very, he could have made a sale, but he was like, you don't know what you want. Maybe you should try all this. We don't have what you probably should start with. So
yeah. Yeah, it was so you wanted to get the base first before you got the tufts. The next one's by Harold Meyerhofer, and this is Elaine. Is that her name? I always forget her name. The vampire doctor from Star Saga. But I really like this is the clothing, the armor he did on it. He did it with black bodysuit with like red highlights with silver outlines on it. Like that is so hard to do to make it look nice. And then the classic brown cloak. But wow, what a really nice job. And
the level of detail on that is shockingly.
Yeah, we've both painted this miniature, and to get this out of it is amazing.
Yeah.
And even the gloves.
Looks like Ant-Man.
The armor, yeah. And the gloves look like she's actually wearing rubber gloves. Like, I think that's a nice touch, too. Like, just subtle things like that where it's like, oh, this is a vampire doctor. And the speckled head. Yeah, really, really nice job.
I like that.
Yeah. And then we have the big one from Boston Miniatures. He did his Brush with Death. He entered it, and he actually won it in the diorama section. This thing is ridiculous. He did a diorama of a Enforcer Interceptor dropping off some guys who are about to fight on the next level against some plague, and as you go down, every faction, I think, is represented. It's from the front, it looks like just like a rock facing, but then you turn it to the back and it's actually a base made out of the terrain crate. And you get a Forgefather tank, you get aberrations, you get a bunch of different races in here. And as you look at it more detailed, every little section is amazing. Like things going on. There's smoke fault, like somebody shot the interceptor, so it's like, looks like it's about to crash, and I can see why this won, needless to say.
Oh yeah. Oh, for sure. Now, I don't know if you were there for, when we were doing the hangouts, with Cedric. You might have been there for one of them when he was working on this.
Oh, he was actually working on it. Yeah.
Oh yeah. At first he goes, okay. And he started, it was Plague versus Enforcers. He goes, I want to add one more. What do you think? And then people are giving ideas. He goes, I'll just put them all.
Yeah.
And then, the funniest story is that he said, well, they made the rules were it had to be a base of this size, no bigger. He says, then I'm going to do this. I said, well, that's kind of tall. What's the rule for that? They didn't make a rule for how tall. It just kept growing bigger and bigger and bigger. And you could see him working on it. And the result is so much better than you'd even imagine. Because the first time he didn't have a camera. So he was just describing, oh, the tree is going to hold up the interceptor. And then you see it there. It is.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Clearly, that had to win. There's nothing that was going to be better than that. There's nothing.
Yeah. Anybody who entered that diorama contest, it's unfortunate because it's even these pictures here don't do it justice. Yeah, if you go to Boston Miniatures on Facebook, he's got a lot more pictures of this, and it is every little detail. Like you look all over this thing, there's more things going on. Like it's amazing, and like he's a good artist at the best times, but to put this all together to turn it into this it's a work of art for sure.
Yeah. Any other year, you might have had a chance. You probably could have won, but this year, you'd be hard pressed to imagine what could beat this.
Yeah, and just a little thing on this is you look at the very last picture. It's a Forge Father about to be attacked by Subject 901, and the heat hammer on the Forge Father actually glowing orange that's such a cool touch. I never even thought about that, and it looks so great. It's got some OSL going on, and then the screens all over 901, they look like they're actually glowing like that. It looks like it's glowing. Like, it's not even a question. It looks like he put lights in it. He is such a good artist. And, he totally deserved the brush with death.
When you scroll up and you see there's an enforcer being dragged down by zombies, and I've painted a ton of those zombies. there's gotta be some fatigue when you're painting something like that, but they look so good, and I don't know how long it took, but that's.
Yeah. Then there's Veerman all over the place too, and you can look, and there's everybody's there somewhere, so very nice. And yeah, well, I guess I'll move on to our stuff just to make it look that much worse, because that's so good. But you said you didn't do anything, Jack, for Star Saga or
World? No, I knew we'd be showcasing Cedric's piece, so I said there's no way. I'm not falling into that trap. So you can be the one that goes from the sublime to the ridiculous.
That's true. So I did do some more of the some random stuff. I did the Vampire Doctor Woman from the Star Saga, and I did Kirby. I did a random dwarf guy, Forge Father, and I did a enforcer with a long sword. He's a pathfinder with a long sword. But the really one that I really was excited to do was the Chovar. The storage unit, and I wanted to make him whereas his outer limbs were like blue that faded into white that eventually faded into orange and then red like fire, and I think I pulled it off not too horribly. He still looks organic, but he's still got the I like how he turned out. I'm really happy with that model.
He looks like between the two of our Chovars look like the Mantic one. Like I avoided the red horns and stuff. I kept it with the purples.
Yeah.
You went with the whites and the white and the blue. I don't know. You were on fire with the white and the blue. Maybe you were just bitten by the bug. But
no, this was painted before the before the Vanguard guys.
But you know, for being board game pieces that you wouldn't necessarily have to paint, the Chobar is a fun one to do with the blending that you did. And the,
that's why I tried to make an organic blending. Yeah.
Yeah, you can choose to pick out what you want on the along the sides. There's different details. There's the horns. There's the stuff.
And his back is all like chitinous. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, it was a good thing. And then I also painted Edek Pamir. I did him in I did him a little bit more bluish than purple. Like Yindish obviously are purple, right? Everybody knows that. But I did Edek a bit, like he's a little older. His hair's all gray and he's faded a bit. He's still got his combat armor on and his crossbow. And, yeah, he's fun. He's got, like, dreads.
He's one of the metal miniatures that they just re-released. Is that correct?
That is correct, yep. So.
Okay.
And I think with Star Saga V2, or shipping, we should get another one. So you'll get a chance to paint Edek also. So there you go.
We've been using, for when we've played Rebs, we've had some stand-ins for Reb leaders and stuff like that.
But yeah.
Now the real one, there he is. With the coloring and the tailoring, he looks like they should be making sweet, sweet love by pushing his tail against another tail and then riding a tear down.
A little bit, yeah. He's a little avatar-y. And I also did Blaine. Because I had Blaine. I don't remember which Blaine this is. I think he's the leader for Dreadball. The Dreadball coach Blaine. But he's like relaxed Blaine. He's just got only one knife and he's just kind of like maxing and relaxing. But I wanted to do some, softer tones on him. So I tried to like make him look more soft. So I think that turned out alright too with the various, washes and things.
That turned out very well. It's hard to get a good skin tone, and you hit that. And I like all the transitions. That's a really nice Blaine paint job.
Yep, just practicing on the Blaine. We also got a clear jetpike, and I put him together. And I attempted to do lining like you do with Gundams, and I just did it quickly just to see how it turned out. And it kind of gives you a little bit of flair. From these pictures, it's a lot more harsh than it actually looks. If you actually see it in real life, you don't see all the little bits, but it gives a little definition. Otherwise, it's just like a crystal statue. As you can see in the first two pictures, there's no definition. So I try to give a little bit of definition to the bike itself.
Yeah. It looks harsh in the picture, but you're right. It does have a formless, like, just a frosty blob look.
Yeah. You have to do something a bit to it. I heard people are going to do transitions and stuff on it, but I did not. I just went for that. And last but not least, this is both of our a bit of both of our stuff, because Jack sculpted some plague swarms a while ago, and we've been trying to get a some kind of material. You did them, and then you tried to mold them. We did various different materials to mold them with, and none of the materials really turned out the way the original one looked, but it was very slimy and swarmy, so I decided to try to paint it up, and it's really just a bunch of different plague-like things. There's rats in there, and there's, what else is in there, Jack?
It's basically, what I did was I made a mold that could have been a plague swarm, but it didn't really work out. So then I decided to use it to make a different model altogether. So I added a bunch of fibrous bits and then it built up. So it's basically a bunch of chitinous, chitinous bits, scaly bits with goo and fibers. So it tastes as good as it sounds.
And then, so I painted it in Jack style, my version of Jack style, which is greenish. And I did that with my aberration too, where I do it green and then I do a nice, Tamiya green wash on it to give it that darker green, like inlays a bit. But then it was very just green. It looked like, I was like, oh, you can't really see anything. So then I tried some water effects on it to try to make it look slimy, so it gave it a little slimy look, and it still looked just green. So then I was like, screw it. I had like a a bunch of red, really thin red paint, and I just thinned it out and just poured it on there to make it look like it's just seeping in blood. And I think it really defined it all of a sudden. All of a sudden you can pick out the various creatures, and it looks like they're feeding on something now. And yeah, I think it turned out pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's a horror show. There's no question about it. There's something alien, like rigid, beetle-like creatures feasting on something, and it's just gore.
Yeah, and I like the way it turned out, and we'll be using them for plague swarms, or at least I will be, so. Because, as we all know, the mantic plague swarms aren't the best. Hopefully they redo those sometime.
Yeah.
And I think that brings us to the end, Jack. Is there anything else?
No, I think we're going to have a nice, long, varied, we touched on a lot of stuff, episode. Hopefully we got everyone up to speed, and we've covered everything we need to.
Yep, and please do contact us at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. Send us some pictures to shout it out to, or tell us how we're doing. If you want to hear more Vanguard, or send us your Vanguard pictures too. We'll throw them in there with the R stuff. And yeah, go to cafepress.ca/deadzonepodcast to get some merch. We love it. I love the t-shirts. And you can always go to Patreon to support us if you really care to. Don't feel obligated. It's more of a tip jar. We like it. As long as we pay for our servers, we don't care. And we do that, so that's all we're happy about.
Yeah, we appreciate it, but certainly in one episode we will do it, like a thank you to everyone, and really, you know, because we do appreciate it, but we just don't constantly say it because it sounds like you're asking for more.
Exactly.
It's not our style. We'd rather be low-key than keep hyping the Patreon, but I would ask that you go to YouTube and subscribe.
Yes.
I see we're at about $1.60 for people, and we have plenty of people watch. And to be honest, it's the podcast format, but with the pictures, and Rob will every once in a while slip in a little treat for you in video format. But if you're painting minis and you're like, okay, I've caught up on you know whatever podcast or whatever video, it's just so nice just to be painting and have something going. It's your two pals from Canada just chatting with you, keeping you company.
And speaking of chatting, if you are going to Adeptcon, come say hi. We will be wearing our merch, I'm sure, of some sort. Or you can find us at the wherever Dead Zone's being played, or at because usually there's a whole Mantic room, pretty much, or a section of a room, so we always hang out there, or at the booth. So come say hi. We'd love to hear from people. Say hi to people. We've met some great guys. Play games. Adeptcon's really fun if you get a chance to go. And if not, you'll hear about us, I'm sure, going. But it is a fun time. And speaking of which, Jack, we're also running an event at Adeptcon. I forgot to mention that.
Well, it's still in the top secret phase.
It's in the Adeptcon book now. It's, even though they called it the wrong name, and I told Pat it was the wrong name, and he said, no, it's this name. And I was like, that's not what they put in the book. So someone edited the name to it. In the Adeptcon book, it's called Mech Wars, but the actual name of the game is Mech Zone. Mm. And it's modified from JP, Johnny P's original version 1 of Dead Zone, Mech Zone. I wonder if that was called Mech War back then. I don't think so. I think it was always been Mech Zone, but we played it the very first time we went to Adeptcon, the very first Mantic night we ever went to. I think it was the very first Mantic night. And it was of good times, but over the years, with the change in the rules, the game has not really been updated enough to make it work really well. Last year, it didn't work great. It was fun. It was fun, but it wasn't great. And I think we're trying to inject greatness back in, right, Jack?
Yeah, there's been a couple of iterations as it's grown, but I think Dead Zone, the rule set has gotten a little out of, you know, got ahead of the game that for the mechs, and now we have to try and make that, close that gap a bit, so. And then we add our own monkey shines, because that's just the way we roll, and
yeah,
hopefully it works.
And it's going to be, you're playing an arena, it's an illegal mech arena, and the mechs are they're not as heavily armored, and the weapons are not as deadly maybe as they are in the real world, but they still can pack a punch, and you can still smash some mechs, and hopefully there'll be a lot more carnage in this than the regular mech zone, because regularly two Striders fighting each other, they're not going to kill much, but they're too tough.
In Dead Zone, if they square off between the armor and the sizes, now they're hard to kill each other, and it's a far cry from what they used to be in version one, and that's where the problem lies. So I think we're going to try and get something like a American Gladiators meets Robot Wars.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely more Robot Wars. But or even classic Battletech, Solaris 7, you know, guys, it's coming. I don't know, eight or six Striders enter arena, only one Strider leaves. That's the name of the game, so should be fun.
Yeah.
And needless to say, if Jack and I are involved, there's going to be chaos, so don't expect it to be a straight-up fight. And so then I have that to look forward to, and I think there's two of those games, and hopefully people are buying tickets to them so we can have some fun.
Right.
And there's a bunch of other stuff. There's tournament, Dead Zone tournament, obviously, Vanguard tournament, obviously. And that's all one day. So if you're going to play both, that's a long day. But they also, Pat's creating something called Dead Zone the Movie, which is, pretty much if Arnold Schwarzenegger and his, crew from, Predator got thrown into a Dead Zone and see how long they can last in the Dead Zone. So that should be fun. And I don't know what else they got going on there. Lots of stuff. So come to Adepticon if you can. It's in March in Chicago area.
Yep.
And that wraps it up. We'll be back. Team building exercise is coming out Wednesday. It'll be the plague from Outbreak, where we talk about them. Should be fun. And we'll be back next month for another Dead Zone the Podcast, our slow march to 100.
Yes, our lumbering. But you know what? It's we've been very consistent with our releases. We've been very diligent. We've been doing this a long time. 100, when it does come, you know, it's A, well-deserved that we do something a little self-serving, we can pat ourselves on the back a little bit.
Yeah. So we'll see you hopefully next month, because we'll see how it goes.
I just went from, yes, in 10 more episodes, we can rejoice a little bit. And then immediately, like, we might be back.
We might be back. You got the hype train too high. I had to pull us back to earth.
Self-deprecating Jack. Remember that. It's the podcast, : self-deprecating humor.
We're Canada. Don't forget where we're from, man. You're acting too Chicago there.
I'm sorry.
Sorry. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. I have been your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen. Visit the website, deadzonegame.podbean.com. Email your hosts at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can follow the show at Dead Zone Podcast. The Dead Zone Podcast is a production of Vinland Old Time Radio Productions.
This is a little more difficult, but I have to name powers for Dead Zone the Podcast.
Yeah.
Dead Zone the Podcast.
I wonder how many people that is.
And all of its, or maybe even just one, but any of its on-air talent.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrannosaurus legs.
They have Tyrannosaurus legs.
Tyrannosaurus legs. And I have been vacillating on whether they should be proportional to a human body or they should be Tyrannosaurus sized.
But well, I mean, beyond the obvious of messing up their lives, if you make the Tyrannosaurus lives, you've really messed up their lives.
Sort of, but also they can make perfect concentric circles vibrate into water.
I think they should have human-sized legs. Because they can still do the circles.
Human proportional, but Tyrannosaurus legs.
Just no pants.
And there's, they don't need pants, no. And that comes with the tail. They're like Tyrannosaurus centaurs. I'm going to go ahead and give it that. And I'm telling you this right now. Any comic book artist right there who's listening to this right now went, I want to draw that. I know.
So on the one hand, you might think this is a curse. But on the other hand, you've got really powerful legs now.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
You can really impress at the gym with the with your leg presses.
There are benefits. Yeah, there are definite benefits. Benefits issue, but whatever.
Ryan's not here, so I don't even know what the deal with dinosaur genitalia is, but that's got to be affected as well.
Do we even know? Did any of the did their bits survive?
He might. Next time he's on the show, we'll find out. Or I can just text him after and find out that way.